Hi, Kayla. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Cassie. How are you guys? Look at my OGs are all on here first.
Hi, Kayla.
Hey.
I have missed you guys.
Are you feeling?
Oh my God. I can't, so I don't know if I don't know how much I've said, but I had like a mommy makeover. So I can't complain about how much pain I'm in. I'm in so much pain. But tomorrow's 3 weeks, so I'm hoping I'm turning a corner.
Nice. I was supposed to
My
have one and then I got pregnant. I'm excited. Do you love it already?
yeah. I do and I don't because I had my implants like redone and I flew to South Florida because I worked as an OR nurse for a plastic surgeon in Florida and I love him to death and I trust him and that's what I keep telling myself when I take my bra off because my boobs are so big right now. But I trust him. When we went for day one for the post-op thing, I take my band, he's taking my bandages off, and Steve was like, and I was like, and then cried for the rest of the day. But we're getting better. But it was pretty bad the first day. I looked like I had three heads. I was so swollen. But
My sister
yes.
had one and that's awesome. My sister had one done and she had to use a walker for the first 3 weeks because she had a pretty significant tummy tuck.
Well, I had a tummy tuck actually before I had Grayson because I was done. And my tummy tuck, like the guy that did mine, there was like nine labor and delivery nurses. We all got tummy tucks like the same time. I worked at a huge labor and delivery unit. And mine, I'm not joking, was the best one. The best one. And I did so much prep, like prep, and I did that this time too. But I'm like 13 years older than when I did that, you know? But I had Grayson and my tummy tuck held. I mean, my stomach is flat. But that's why I don't know if you were on when we were talking about scar tissue massage, because when I had Grayson, that scar tissue during labor from that tummy tuck was the worst part of my labor. That so it's
Good
so
point.
important that I didn't think about scar tissue massage because I wasn't gonna have another baby and then surprise comes along Grayson. But yeah, so it's been quite the journey. But I'll tell you what, liposuction, it sucks. It hurts so bad.
I love watching it.
I don't, Cassie. I am not that hurt. Like when I worked at his OR nurse, like the big joke, they would be like, Trish, look. And I would be like, I'm not looking. But yeah. Anyway, so that's what. So it's been really hard because I'm like, I did it to myself. It's not like I had to do it, I chose to do it. So like, I don't want to complain, but like, it's been rough. And I ended up getting a massive ear infection. And that's been the worst part. I haven't had an ear infection. Like, I can't remember having an ear infection. And I said to my husband, I'm like, if one of the kids tell me that they have an ear infection, I am going to rush them to the ER because it is horrible. And sure as hell, on Thursday of last week, my daughter wakes up and she's like, Mom. And I was like, going to the doctor. So,
So I
yeah, I'm.
wonder if you had something separate from your surgery because I, Kayla knows this, but I was sick for the last 3 weeks and I just thought it was different viruses. It was different stages of infection. I had a double ear infection and a sinus infection and a throat infection. I just think there's some virus going
I
around right
yeah,
now that's like causing.
I'm positive I did because when I woke up from surgery, I told my husband right away like I couldn't hear. So yeah, it was quite an experience. So anyway, here I am. So happy to see all of you guys. We've had so many new babies this week. I don't know if any of those mamas are gonna come today, but we'll see. Make sure you put how many weeks postpartum so that, well, some of you guys I know are getting far out there, but there's a brand new one right there. Not, Not days. How old, Leslie?
7 weeks tomorrow.
Oh my goodness. How are you feeling?
I'm here. She actually slept for 9 hours last night. And then I ended up texting the pediatrician because I was like, something's wrong, because she slept for 9 hours, woke up a little bit, and ate like 2.5 ounces from a bottle, and then went right back to sleep. And then I woke her up at 10 and she only ate 3, and then went, it was half asleep while eating. And so I was like, is something wrong? And then I took her temperature and that woke her up, and she's just going to scream because all she's had like 15 ounces since like 4 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
Like just a lot.
Yeah, I always, that's what I tell, like, the take their temperature. If you're trying to get a baby awake enough to breastfeed, take their temperature. Even under the arm, they'll freak out. Either one. Well, we have.
It was tushy and it was immediate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great way to get them to poop too, for sure. Well, we're happy to see you. Let's see who's all on here. Let's see. Let's go to Sarah. Sarah, how are you? So we've got Leslie, you said 7 weeks. Sarah's 8 weeks. Elizabeth, 9 weeks. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, good.
Too shabby. It's every Thanks time for I asking. Say.
Can you guys hear Siri? Every single week on the VBAC Happy Hour, when I would call on the other person who has your name, Siri would answer me.
Oh no. Oh, no. We're doing pretty good. Actually, Leslie and I have something in common now, because my 8 week old just slept 9 hours last night. And she had done like 7 to 7.5 or 8 the past 2 nights prior. And it totally freaked me out. And I literally think that I asked every single person that I possibly could if it was okay, and if she was all right, and if I needed to panic. So I have no idea what's with it, but maybe it's a passing thing. But
question is, did you sleep?
Not that entire time.
Yeah, I never did either. When my little ones would first sleep, I would be up checking what was wrong.
Yes. Yeah. I definitely, did not sleep that entire time. I usually, you know, I'm up for a while after I put her to bed just to see how she, you know, does, and to make sure she doesn't wake back up. But, I of course was listening in the middle of the night. Are you breathing? Can I still hear you?
Yeah.
But we're doing pretty good otherwise. I was really frustrated last week, I think it was, or the past 2 weeks, with just not getting out and about and feeling like I couldn't get off of my stupid couch. I just was so frustrated with everything and felt like I got nothing done. But I've been trying to change that. I've been making an extra effort just to move around and do more. And oh my God, it makes such a difference.
Yeah. Was it just because you were acclimating to like life with a newborn, you think? Or do you feel like you just, maybe you didn't have enough sleep?
I don't know. I mean, it might've been a combination of a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I hadn't been cleared yet from my C-section to like do anything. So I think that was a large part of it, that I'm used to getting up and going and doing a lot of stuff, or at least being able to take care of things or get outside or something. And I just felt like I was stuck.
Yeah.
So I didn't know how to get things done while also caring for a newborn. And I'm still figuring it out, of course, but I think I'm getting things a little bit better now. I'm getting not necessarily a rhythm, but I at least know that I can do things at certain times. Like if I get her to take a nap, she's getting better at actually sleeping. If I put her down, if she fell asleep while I was holding her, And I know kind of by sound if she's going to wake up and stay awake or if she's just kind of going through the cycle. So yeah. I'm getting there.
Well, you know, I don't know if you've heard me talk about last August 2022, I had this like, we had a really tough summer and I struggled with like depression in a way that I have never struggled with. And I didn't like, since I started my business, like in 2017, like I wake up dreaming it, thinking it, eating it, sleep thinking, you know, like it was just everything. And I could not function. Like I could not get anything done. And thank God I had Taylor and Stacy work with me at the time because I was able to have a meltdown. But my husband finally was like, okay, because it not doing anything was also making it worse, like in my brain. And so he finally said this, you know, like what I want you to do is write two really easy things on a list today. Like I'm talking like easy things.
Yeah.
Not complicated at all. And like check emails, you know, like no effort. And one other thing, you know, like, and he's like on paper and cross it out. So that at the end of the day, you're like, I completed my task. And gradually I started adding more things. And, you know, that was how I pulled myself out of that. But like, I had my surgery and it's been hard for me not to be able to do the things I normally do. And it's even like I was saying to them, like, I can't really complain because it was my choice to do it. But at the same time, it's a really hard feeling to not be what you normally are or do what you normally can do. That's tough.
Yeah. And I resigned from my job. So I think that I was also mentally grasping that I'm an unemployed adult for the first time in 14 years. And yeah. That kind of freaked me out. And I just felt like I didn't have purpose, which I mean, I know that being a mom is absolutely the best purpose to have, but I just felt like I couldn't be a person outside of that. And yeah. I think that was part of it too, but forgiving myself for not getting things done that I wanted to get done is definitely difficult. But I think that being able to do that has been a big help to me too. Like you said, I kind of just set one hard goal to get done during the day and I can usually at least get that done.
Yeah.
But I forgive myself for the five other things that I didn't get to.
Well, and you know, the other thing that I realized when I was doing that is that there's a lot we do that we don't accredit to ourselves. And like, you're changing how many diapers, you're sitting down and breastfeeding how many times, you're feeding, making a bottle how many times, like that's a lot. Like if I gave to my husband's never had a baby, right? If I went in there and said, okay, you're gonna change 18 diapers, feed 7 bottles, sit down for 30 minutes and not move 7 times today. Like that's a huge accomplishment as well. But the other thing I want to encourage you guys, like, yes, motherhood is, I mean, it's one of the most, like, that's the biggest investment we are putting as parents are putting into this future world is who these humans turn out to be, right? It's a huge thing, but I think it's also, it's also okay for you to have hopes and dreams as, you know, as Sarah, and what does Sarah want to do? And maybe this job, you know, that you've resigned for, that might be the gateway to something incredible that you will do outside of being a mom, you know?
Yeah. I think that, it's a good opportunity. It was probably a good thing for me to stop and slow down for many reasons. And I think that maybe, like you said, it'll lead to something bigger. So,
yeah. And like, I can tell you also going back to work when your baby is really little, that's a beast in its own too. So you know, there's like, there's a part that's like, oh, it'd be really nice to sit with a bunch of adults and like talk adult stuff. But then there's a horrible experience too, leaving your baby as well. So just motherhood in general, no matter how you spin it in either any direction, is just so hard. Being a working mom, being a staying home mom, being a working at home mom, you know, all of it's just hard. That's why I love this community so much. I love being able to, even for me, to hear you guys and how you guys are walking through. Well, it was nice to have an update from you, Sarah.
Thank you. Thanks for being here tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. I am going to go. I'm trying to go by youngest baby because I know some of these moms who just delivered have a little bit of a harder time. They haven't quite gotten the swing of it. So let me check on Ruth. Ruth, how are you?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. How are you? Hi.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Are you doing better?
Yes. Yes. I'm doing much better this week.
So. I'm glad. Yes. Tell us how it's been. What have you, like, what you've been struggling with or?
I think most of what Sarah just spoke about is just like giving myself grace or forgiving myself for like all the things that I need to get there. And I think another thing again is the mom guilt. Every time I'm like with the baby, my oldest child, she's now like doing all these things I know is just trying to get my attention. Like I have my sister and my husband that are like helping with a lot of stuff, which I'm very grateful for. But I feel to her, she just wants me, you know, like she was used to just having me do everything, give her a shower, you know, all of the things. And then now I don't even like spend time with her as much and play with her and all of that stuff. And that has been really like tugging at my heart. Like it's been really hard adjusting to that. Like I knew, you know, a lot of people talk about it. I knew that, I expected that, but I just didn't think it would be this hard, you know, going through it. And I think that's mostly what consumes my thought, like most of the day, like, okay, what can I do? The baby is sleeping, what can we do together? But most of the times I'm always tired. And like, even when I do get the chance to sit with her, I'm like so out of it, exhausted, and I just feel guilty, like, oh my God. And also I think another thing that I am kind of struggling with is, I think with the first time with the C-section and now like with a VBAC, it's like, I feel like I'm trying to force myself to get out of recovery faster, or that mentality of like, oh, you know, you should be able to do this now. And instead of resting, I find myself like pushing myself, trying to get things done and, you know, be up and moving all the time. And I think some days my body just kind of gets the beating, and then like sitting down and just kind of resting is tough. It's tough. So those are some of the things I'm kind of struggling with right now. And so
yeah, like those are like really hard things. Like, as I was thinking when you were talking, like every time the baby's resting, like we say, oh, when baby's resting, you rest, and your other baby needs you, so you're not getting like much downtime.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Does your other one take a nap, or do they completely nap at the different times?
Yeah, they nap at different times. Right now, we started looking at daycares around us, and trying to find, because right now I'm not working, so trying to find something that kind of falls in our budget and yeah, that she can do, because she's someone that likes to be stimulated mentally. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yes, she, you know, putting on shows for her and everything doesn't just do it. Like, yeah, if you do put something for her, she would rather you sit there with her, and like she will ask you questions and, you know, all these different things. So we had to start looking at daycares, you know, just things that she can do, because like you give her an activity and she wants you there explaining those things to her. So yeah, that's what we're doing.
I have a little suggestion that you can try that, because, you know, I mean, the majority of my life I've had a lot of kids at home. This is like, now I feel like it's nothing because I only have two at home. But when all the other kids were younger and I had something going on, be it having a baby or traveling, we always did like a special box that they could only have during whatever the time was. So what I would recommend is maybe go to, even like with that age, you can go to the Dollar Tree, but you can get like a little Rubbermaid and fill it with activities that she can only use when the baby's asleep, and make it be fun stuff that she doesn't need you to help her with, like where she has some independence, you know, and then just sit with her and close your eyes and listen. And, you know, like maybe your sister-in-law can sit there, or your sister, and like you're there, but you're also able to rest some.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'll do that. Yeah.
That's what we do on trips too. We have like, they each get, well, when they were little, not so much anymore, but they would each get a little thing, and they could only use it when we're in the car traveling, so that they weren't like, they had something that they looked forward to when we were driving, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Well, that sounds like fun.
Well, I'm happy to see you.
Yeah. Thank you. I have another question. How long does like the bleeding and stuff, like how long does it go on for, like postpartum?
So usually it'll taper off about 6 or 7 weeks.
Oh, okay.
But around 3 or 4 weeks, it usually slows down quite a bit. But the more you're doing, the longer it can go.
Okay.
So if you notice that it's getting heavier, you're probably doing too much.
Yep, that was this week, so I think I need to slow down.
Yep, that's your body saying slow down. Okay. But yeah, usually by 6 or 7 weeks, everyone's a little different, but by 6 or 7 weeks, you're pretty, it's pretty low.
Okay.
All right.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let me look on here. Who else have I not talked to? I thought I saw someone else with a younger, Elizabeth, that's who. Can you pop on here, Elizabeth? Let me look in the chat, make sure she's, let's see.
Hello. Okay, sorry.
How are you?
Good. Sorry, she's fussy right now. She had her 2-month shots yesterday, and I guess she hadn't been feeling great today, so yeah. Just got home right as the meeting was starting, so.
Well, we're happy to see you. Look at all that hair. It kills me every time I see it.
Like, what? How? I don't understand it, because my hair is not like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love it. Hoping she doesn't lose.
Did they tell you when you were pregnant the baby had a lot of hair?
They did. And one of her ultrasounds, they actually showed me a picture, and it was actually on, they saved that one onto the ultrasound pictures of her hair floating around in there. Yeah. It was so cool. I was like, oh my gosh.
I love when you see that on ultrasounds and it's like everywhere.
Yeah. My friend actually just texted me yesterday, and they said that they can see her son's hair too. So I was like, oh, maybe he'll have a head full of hair too.
Now, yeah, she can at least visualize it now since she can see. So how are you doing?
Okay. Just still trying to figure out a schedule to get out to my grandparents and working at a decent time. Cause I mean, like today we didn't get out there till like 2:00. It was my fault. I ended up forgetting all of her bottles. So that was part of my problem, but I mean, between getting her up in the morning, feeding her, pumping, it's like, by the time I get that done, it's time to start all over again. So yeah, I'm like, I don't know, but she's eating more often, cause I guess she's sleeping at night. Yeah. I usually feed her less is usually around 12 to 1. And then she usually sleeps till about 7 or 8. So she's eating like every like hour and a half to 2 hours now. So that's part of the problem.
You were on the pumping class today, right? Was that you?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought so. That was a good class.
Yes, it was. I'm still just trying to, I don't understand how, I mean, I literally have the card with the holes in it and I'm sticking my nipple in it and I'm getting 17 before I pump, 19 after. But I sent that video to, it was either the LC or the IBCLC. I'm not sure who I actually talked to yesterday, but I sent her the video and she was like, oh no, that's too small. And it was a 24. So I'm like, I don't know. So I'm going to call tomorrow. I didn't get a chance today. I got out to my grandparents and there was literally like some kind of oil or fluid all over my car. I don't know what's going on. Something's leaking like really bad. So yeah, I didn't end up getting to call them today. So
yeah, I'm interested. Make sure you check back in and let us know what they say.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering now if it's the elastic nipples, but that's usually with the areola. So I don't know.
Yeah. That's definitely not my forte. Anybody else have any thoughts?
Did you look at the thing that was me that sent the legendary milk, the consultant thing?
Have I looked at which?
The sending the person like a picture.
Oh, okay. No, I
different opinion.
Okay. As soon as I got off the class, I was trying to get to my grandparents. But so it was legendary milk that has that.
Uh-huh. I can send it to you in the, I'll send it to you in the chat here.
Okay, perfect.
But one of my friends sent that to me and she was like, you know, flange size is the most important thing. And she breastfed or pumped successfully forever. And she got it done and said it helped.
So, okay. All right. Good. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. Cause I'd already forgotten about it.
Great. I'll find it right now and send it again.
Okay. Please send it
for me too. I'm struggling with that.
I'll put it in the chat for everybody.
Why don't you post it in the postpartum space? Mm-hmm. And
okay.
That way
I can do.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Let's see. I saw someone else. Oh, there's Kimberly. Kimberly, I'm trying to go with you in case you guys need to hop off. How are you doing, Kimberly? Where'd she go?
Hi. Sorry, I'm in the middle of breastfeeding also.
Of course. When you're pregnant, I call on you right when you take a bite of food. And when you're postpartum, right when you put the baby to the breast.
Yeah. Well, we're doing better. We're getting more into routine of things. But one of the hardest things that I have is she has her days and nights mixed up. So like at night, she wakes a lot easier for feedings. But during the day, like, she was supposed to have fed on the breast, you know, an hour ago. And she just started stirring to where I could like I can't get her to wake up during the day to feed some, like it seems like she's on a more of a, like every 4 hour schedule, which she's gaining weight consistently. So, I mean, it's, I guess not a huge concern, but.
What about at night? How often?
It's about every 3.5 to 4 hours.
I think that sounds pretty normal for 4 weeks.
She's eating, so at night I have a tendency to, like I give her bottles that I have pumped and she's eating like 3.5 ounces at a time at night. So she's eating quite a bit.
That's probably why she's sleeping longer.
Yeah. So I know that the pediatrician was surprised when we went to our last appointment, how much she was eating in a sitting. And I'm like, am I supposed to not give her that much? Because she's taking it all and acting like she wants more. So I don't know.
Well, I will tell you during the day, if you want to wake her up if you want to try to fix it, I feel like 3.5 and 4 is not too bad. But you can always strip her down. And like I was saying before, put the thermometer under her arm. She'll get mad, mad, mad and wake up.
I haven't tried that. I have tried
under her arm.
Well, I've stripped her down and taken like a wet wipe and like wiped her. And usually I can get her to wake up or at least throw a fit. But sometimes she like cries and then goes immediately back to sleep. And I'm like, come on, wake up.
No, go talk to dad. Go to dad. Okay. No. Sorry.
No worries.
Go. Ooh, this kid. Oh my gosh, we're at each other's throats today, him and I. Anyway, we've started homeschooling him, long story. And Yeah, it's a growth experience for both of us right now. Anyway, well, yeah, so if you strip them down and you put your finger under their armpit, like, they hate it. Or put a thermometer under their armpit, they hate it. You can also kind of rub your fingernail down their foot as well. They don't like that either.
Okay.
The armpit, they hate the armpit. That's what we do in the hospital to get them stimulated.
Okay.
Well, I'm happy to see that. How are you? How's your body feeling?
It's doing a lot better. I actually had my postpartum checkup. I advanced it to yesterday because we're in the middle of a snowstorm. So we've already gotten like 3 inches today and we're supposed to get 20 more tonight.
Where are you?
I'm in Northern California, like kind of near Mount Shasta.
It's really funny because Stacy is in outside of LA and they're having cold weather and I'm here in Nashville and it's like 79 today.
Yeah, that I guess there's extreme temperatures all across the states. It's like there's either, you know, extreme record breaking heat wave or like what we're having where we're having like a record storm for this time of year.
Well, I'm happy you have the snow and we have the sun.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm happy about it. It's pretty right now with a couple of inches. And I'm like, yeah, if only it would just stay like this and not get any more. But yeah, it's supposed to get quite a bit. Actually, just
said negative 16 where she's at. Ugh. No, I don't like it. Well, I'm happy to see if you have any questions, just pop back on.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to see. Am I saying it right when I say Madu? Is that right? I always get this wrong. So, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good.
How's that? It's great to be here. This is my first session that I'm joining, and it's really awesome to see all the mamas here with their adorable babies.
Yes, well, we're happy to have you. This is an amazing group of women.
Yeah.
You will love it. A lot of them connect outside, inside, you know, like inside circle and then out, even texting and outside. So it's nice to have someone who's going through what you're going through.
Absolutely.
So how are you and baby adjusting?
Yeah, we are doing well. I had a baby boy right before going full term. So I had him at 36 weeks and 4 days. The delivery was with a lot of interventions. I had like an epitocin, epidural, and then finally a C-section. I'm coping up well. Overall, my health is good. The baby is gaining weight. He's pooping and peeing as expected. I'm like struggling a bit on the breastfeeding front because he was a little early. He did not have all the power to suck. So I started with the bottle, like pumping and then feeding him on the bottle. And now I'm having like trouble to feed him on the breast because the latch is not very deep. I did have one appointment with the lactation consultant. I have one more in the next week. But it's just a little exhausting to, you know, go through the cycle of feed him or like keep him on the breast so that he kind of gets used to it and then again go back and pump and then feed him through the bottle. So that's like taking most of my time during the day.
Yeah. So is he getting formula or pumped breast milk?
Pumped breast milk.
Yeah. So one thing about the bottle is that they get it so much faster.
Right.
So one thing, there's two things I would recommend. One is to do, oh gosh, I'm blanking on what it's called, right? Like it's a slow feed where you hold them up and you hold the bottle straight. We did a reel on it on Instagram. I'll look for it in just a second. Yeah. And then the other, the paste feeding, right? I was like, I know it's an easy word, but it's, but so you do paste feeding on the bottle feeds, try to slow it down so that he's not associate, like not like, oh yeah, this is much easier and I have to work a lot harder. The other thing I would recommend, let me grab this because I just got this with Haka. Because I didn't use Haka's, but they didn't have it then. I don't know if you can see it, but it's the supplemental system.
Yep, I can see it.
Instead of giving him the milk in the bottle alone, you could give him the pumped milk at your breast.
Okay.
And so what you do is you just lay, I haven't even opened this one, but I'm sure it's pretty similar. Let me see if I can get it out. I'm going to make this bigger so you guys can see me. Hold on. Now let's see if I can. Let me see if I can make me the speaker. Can you guys see me on your screen? Okay, because I only see Madhu. So, all right, let me see how to open this. Well, so can you see it okay?
Yes, so I can see it.
The little tube just lays right on your nipple.
Oh, okay.
So when they latch, they get the tube and your nipple, and then you can control the flow of how fast the milk comes out.
Okay.
So the thing that's good about that is you may eventually eliminate the pumping because you're gonna pick up your supply even better. So I would consider doing that. Now, I really like Hakka's because they're priced so well. The one I used was a little different because it had a little bag that you could hang on your neck. You didn't have to have this, but this one at home would be fine. And it's I'll post and link to it.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah,
I did not know about this. I just knew about the Hakka milk collector, but this is a good thing.
No, it's so brilliant, especially if you're trying to reintroduce the breast. If you have a NICU baby or you have a baby that maybe, I mean, even if maybe like, I think Kayla, you were trying to get your milk supply going, weren't you? Was it you, Kayla?
Yeah, I had done a lot of reading about relactating because of, you know, the circumstances with Ainsley's delivery and everything and having to give up breastfeeding when she was born. I shared on the last call, I ended up deciding right now is just not the time with all the changes that we're dealing with her sleep and us mm-hmm. not sleeping and how demanding everything with her right now is. It ultimately wasn't the best time for me, but yeah, I was looking at the supplemental nursing system and all of that as a way of trying to help with the relactation process.
Yeah. Okay. So I knew someone, but it's a great way. So Jenny, yeah. And Kayla, I think it's amazing when we know, like, there's so much wisdom in figuring out when timing's not right for something, like, cause you could have very well tried to do that and been like a mental basket case, you know, and that's not good for anyone. But yes, it's definitely like, especially since you are already pumping and you have the milk that you're giving in the bottle, I would just switch to that instead of the bottle feeding and just eliminate the bottle.
Right, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then you're gonna build up an even better supply because you're gonna be pumping and breastfeeding all those sessions. Right. I don't think you'll have to do that long though.
Right.
You know, maybe the first week do it a faster flow and then gradually decrease the flow to where he's just getting your breast milk from your breast, you know? Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely helps because I have been seeing the progress of how he is taking on to the breast. He is like now, you know, at least getting partially used to it. So I like keep him on the breast for 20 minutes on each side and then later give him an ounce. So it's getting better, but it's just that at times it's very exhausting and overwhelming. So, yeah.
I feel like when you're breastfeeding and pumping regularly, it is exhausting. It's like you feel like you have your shirt up all day long.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, there's like, okay, this is all I'm doing.
Yeah, but I feel guilty of giving him the formula, so I try to keep it away, but then at times I just like give in and like I'm giving the formula.
Well, if you are giving him formula too, then you could always just add the formula to that when you normally did the bottle feeding, do both. Do the formula in the supplemental system and put him on the breast. So that's still going to stimulate that. He's going to be getting both.
Okay.
And maybe you won't have as, you know, you won't be as exhausted. Ruth said, I got distracted because Ruth said she's basically walking around shirtless at this point. Yeah, I remember those days. Oh my gosh, so much. All right, let's see. Anybody? So I've checked in with, I think, the brand new mamas. Anybody else have anything? That way, I want to respect your time so we don't go over an hour, which I don't mind staying later. But if there's anyone on that can't stay later and has like something they want to chat about or give us an update, we'd love to hear updates for you guys. I'll let you guys go first.
I don't have anything crazy, but I just wanted to tell Madhu really quickly, you know, nobody explained to me that I didn't have to pump if I was home with the baby. And so I found it like, it almost like spiraled me into a little bit of depression because I was pumping and feeding and pumping and feeding. I didn't understand that, like, I didn't have to pump at all if I didn't want to. I know, like, towards the end of maternity leave, you want to kind of build up a supply, but that's also an option. Madhu, if you don't have to pump, you may not have to if that's what you choose. I just don't want you to think that you have to because pumping is so stressful.
Yeah, it is. It can be very stressful. That was one thing I liked about the girl that was on today was saying, like, you don't need to pump right away. Like, it's not necessary. Hey, Ashley, how are you?
I'm on struggle bus too. Are you? But I just, the workshop with the pediatric dentist was super helpful. So her and Taylor really encouraged me to go get him checked out again, because I went to his pediatrician because I thought he might have a tongue tie or lip tie, just because like breastfeeding was so difficult and he was so gassy and all the signs. And when the pediatric dentist on here was going through all the symptoms, I'm like, that still sounds like him, because the pediatric or his pediatrician did it. She was like, oh, he has like a mild lip tie, but it's nothing crazy. Like, you don't need to get it snipped. That's basically, that's not going to help. So I went to a pediatric dentist, and sure enough, he had a lip tie. It wasn't severe, but it was, his son actually had the same exact severity of it, and said that when he clipped his son's, his wife had like completely different experience with breastfeeding. So I went ahead.
You did it.
Yeah, I did it. And it's helped his latch so much. Like, I can try different positions now, not just the football hold. Like, I can actually lay down and breastfeed in the morning. And it's been super helpful.
I'm so glad. This is why we do these workshops for you guys. I am, because like, that's not my expertise. I can tell you what I think, but you know, I love that. And I think it's really important that pediatrician, like, okay, so he doesn't think it needs to be treated, yet the baby is having symptoms and problems that are related to it. So whether or not you think it needs to be treated, he's having symptoms.
Yeah. And she also suggested these pacifiers, which he's been really struggling with pacifiers. He just has been really hating them. And this one's been a learning curve, but he actually likes them. So we're still trying to teach him how to suck this one, because this one uses different muscles, I guess, than the actual pacifier.
Did Nora recommended that?
Yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. It's breast-like. So I'll do the brand. I can't remember what the name is. Let me look at it.
I'm interested. I'll add it to the Amazon list. I half the crap I add on there is stuff you guys tell me you find that works well.
Yeah. And it's not the cheapest. I think it's like $13 per pacifier, but it's more, they have to use the same muscles as they breastfeed as they have to do on the pacifier. So it is a curve for them, because he's used to sucking the actual pacifier, but then he also gags and screams when I put it in his mouth. So,
well, yeah. But,
so it has been really helpful. So that workshop was like amazing for me and helped out a lot.
I need to watch it. Did anybody else see it? The pediatric dentist.
But yeah. And then I think he's going through another growth spurt because he's eating every 20, 30 minutes. Okay. And every so I'm pretty exhausted.
How are you feeling emotionally?
Tough. Pretty rough. But his little smiles help in the mornings. They took a really cute picture off to share it of him at the dentist after his lip tie. So that really gets me through the day. He laughed for the first time, which was really nice. So that's been helping. But I just need sleep.
I'll tell you, it's sleep deprivation is a stinking beast.
Yeah.
I've not been sleeping well either since my surgery. And I went for an appointment yesterday and the lady was like, "Hi, how are you?" And I literally burst into tears and was like bawling. My daughter and I had like a, you know, like a mom teen little thing, but normally I'm like, whatever, you know, she's number six. This does not faze me. I sat there crying and inside I was mortified. I was so embarrassed. And then I was talking to my husband. He's like, "Babe, you haven't slept well in like almost 3 weeks. Like, it's okay." But she literally was like, "Oh, hi, how are you?" You know, not like a, "Oh, hi, I really want to hear how you are" type of way. Awful.
Yeah, because his naps during the day, I think he is not a fan of sleep. And he has like severe FOMO or something.
And you're like, "I'm really a fan."
Yeah, so his naps, honestly, they don't last more than 45 minutes during the day.
So how is your husband? Is he able to like take him?
Yeah, and but that's the problem is he'll scream and like he'll eventually calm him down, but it's really hard for him to, especially when he's hungry all the time. He just wants to eat, but he's at work all day, so and gets home. He's been getting home really pretty late.
So I'm sure that's totally adding to your stress too.
And then my two dogs don't help either. My puppy, but we're getting there.
Well, so. This is a safe zone for you to just let it all out, girl. We're all here for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad to see you. Let me see. Okay. So if anybody else wants to hop on before we get off, I'm just going to kind of pop to each of you and see how you're doing. Cassie, how are you? Oh, got to unmute yourself.
I'm on mute.
All right. Yeah.
I was leaning over. I just ate food and now I feel sluggish. I was just telling Ashley, you know, Kayla and I have babies that don't sleep also. I think Kayla and I check in with each other like every hour, all day, every day. I don't know what happened at 4 months old, but Atlas decided to go from sleeping pretty good, like maybe waking up twice, to the last 3 months, like he wakes up 3 or 4 times a night. And the only time he sleeps good is if he has a fever. And so I always know, shit, this kid's sick, because he sleeps like 6 or 7 hours at a time. He's doing a little bit better. You know, we tried to like cry it out, sleep train. There was like a Bella Luna sleep consultant on here. We used her services. Didn't work. So we just kind of decided like, all right, well, we're just going to sleep in the recliner and do the best we can and let him sleep in bed. That didn't work either. He doesn't like to sleep in bed with us. So, but finally, I feel like he's 7 months now, almost 8 months. I feel like he finally hit an age where maybe he's old enough to start sleep training a little bit, because we've been doing it with him. And instead of screaming for an hour, he only cries for like 10 or 20 minutes. But he's still waking up 3 or 4 times a night, which is hard. So
that is so hard.
I can't imagine that he's hungry. I mean, I guess what I want to ask is, if people that are bottle feeding their babies breast milk, how many ounces are you giving your baby? Because I've heard a couple of pediatricians say breastfed babies really shouldn't have more than like 4 ounces in a bottle. Maybe 5, but really just 4 is fine for them. And he doesn't really get 4 ounces from my breasts, because I only pump like maybe 3 ounces in my breasts. So I don't think he's hungry. There's no other signs that he's hungry. I just think he's a kid that
We just, you can probably be doing 6 ounces. My daughter's been doing 6 ounces.
Breast milk? Bottle.
Yes. When my husband feeds her all of a sudden out of nowhere around now, same age, obviously, you know that.
Even with solids.
Yes. Now, damn. Like at night, sometimes when he is on night shift and stays awake and he feeds her, he's like, she just drank. I gave her 2 ounces and then she started falling asleep. He tried to put her down. She was crying again a few minutes later and he got her back up and she drank 4 more ounces.
Oh, damn. Okay. Well, maybe I'll try and increase it a little bit at night. I just like, I don't want to get him so full that he's barfing everywhere. Cause right now I still feel like he's spitting up a little bit. So I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you.
We're just no sleep till Brooklyn, but we're trying.
I would try just maybe gradually go up. You're giving him 4 now.
Yeah, he was at 3 forever, and then we went to 4. He's been at 4 for, like, since January 16th, he's been at 4 ounces. I only know that because that's the day we started daycare, and so I increased him 1 ounce per bottle.
I was like, dang.
I know. Well, and then I, for the longest time, for the last 3 months, I've really struggled to get milk out of my breasts because I went from strictly breastfeeding all of a sudden to pumping, and so my body was like, why are you trying to pull more milk out of me than usual? And so I finally got a Spectra and I'm pumping like so much more milk. I almost stopped breastfeeding because I was just like getting so, I couldn't understand. I just thought I wasn't a good producer and I switched from the LV to the Spectra and I'm pumping like 5 ounces at a time. It's crazy.
So that's exactly what Haley said today. She said, if you're pumping to increase your supply or to get a supply, you cannot use a wearable pump.
Yeah, I had no idea. The last postpartum happy hour, somebody said it and I was like, okay, well, I'm the last effort is going to be by Spectra. So it's been working. But anyway, I mean, we're doing fine. He's sleeping 3 or 4 hours at a time. We're getting good stretches. I think it's just, he's a baby that hasn't learned to sleep through his cycles yet. He's crawling really early, trying to walk already, stand up. It's just like, he's crazy. He's manic. So he's just got a lot going on in his brain.
I'm wondering though, maybe since it's been a month, maybe up it to 5 ounces.
Yeah. And from what Emily said, I'll go ahead and up it. I just had no idea. I thought the general rule was like 4 ounces for breastfed babies, but.
Cassie, and I was at 4 ounces. We've been at 4 ounces forever. And then all of a sudden my baby just started drinking more. So.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'll do 5. If he drinks it, then he wants it. Right. As long as he's not like straight up chucking afterwards.
I don't think 1 ounce is going to make a huge difference as far as vomiting, but it might make a huge difference as far as sleep.
I hope so.
Yeah. Okay, well, cool. You're a whole new woman.
Good for tip. Thank you.
Let's see. Let me go to Jenny. Hey, Jenny, how are you?
I'm tired.
I can tell.
She is starting to actually sleep a little better through the night instead of waking up every hour. Last night she actually slept 3.5 hours in her crib without me right next to her. It was amazing, but I'm still exhausted. But at night she's also, that's the only time that she actually, I let her latch on besides like before each feeding in the morning. But that's about it. And now you're grinning at me. Yeah. But yeah, I'm just a little tired, but I'm catching up on my sleep slowly. She's letting me.
Well, we're happy to see you. How are you feeling like emotionally, like physically?
I am actually, I feel like I'm doing a lot better. I felt like I was getting postpartum depression. I let my doctor know. He prescribed me, I'm not going to say whichever medicine it was because I messed up the last time. And I've been on it before and I actually just slowly weaned myself off. So next month, I'm actually going to take it like every other day. And then the month after, I'm not going to take it at all because I already feel like I'm doing better. So.
Well, I will caution you, sometimes when you're on medication, like you start thinking, oh, I'm doing better and I can come off, but really it's the medication that's helping you feel better. So I'm not encouraging you if that's the plan you want to have, but it's okay to feel better on medication.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. So
I know. I've been on it before. So, and like, I know how I felt before too, when I started weaning myself off of it. So there was that too. So, I mean, if within the first few days, if it's not actually helping, then I will go back to taking it. So.
Okay. All right. Well, we're happy to see you.
Thank you.
Let me go to, I've talked to Leslie. Hi, Aubrey. Oh, let me head to Rita real quick. So, cause she needs to go. Hey, Rita, how are you?
Hey. Oh, we're good. Haven't been on here for such a long time. I thought I needed to at least say something.
I know. And it's so funny because today I was doing a meeting with my content manager, Stacy, and we still are, I have to edit your video. So we were watching your C-section video today and I was like, I haven't seen Rita in forever.
I know, it's been crazy around here. We have had lots of visitors like the first month, and basically I have somebody in my house every day, so it's crazy. And plus I started therapy like 4 weeks ago. I don't know, for some reason I didn't feel happy anymore. Just no ups and downs, just always not happy, not sad. I didn't feel anything yet. So I thought it was time to start processing things. And so, yeah, that's what's going on. But I did have a question on like my psychiatrist. He wanted to put me on antidepressant, but I'm really scared of the effect that it will have on the baby. I said that I wouldn't take them yet. I would try without them for a while yet, but.
So how's that going without them?
Well, the thing is, at first, like up until now, after her birth, I didn't really feel any emotions, you know, not happy, not sad. But now I'm starting to feel again. And I feel like I can't control my emotions right now. So,
yeah. So my personal opinion is that your mental health can affect her a lot more than the medication. So I feel like it's a season and you've got other children too. So that makes it even more intense. I think it's worth a shot. I know there's a lot of mamas on here who have ended up taking medication. There's literally nothing wrong with it. And they've done so many studies, and the ones that they offer you guys, they're so safe. But I feel like when you weigh it out, like, you're just surviving right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I would consider.
See, the thing is, I have two sisters that are on medication, on antidepressant. And I don't know. I don't want to be tied to them all my life, you know?
I'm scared of them
because of that I will have to use them all the time. Like,
have you struggled with depression a lot that you haven't managed, or do you feel like, I mean, you've had a few, I mean, like me, I was in postpartum a lot because I had a lot of kids. So my guess is this is postpartum. And
it could be, but yeah. I mean, I dealt with depression when I was like 13, 14, then I had a really intense months, like a year. But after that, I kind of know my triggers. I just never felt this dead emotionally. You know, yeah. I just didn't feel anything. And that was new to me. You know, I just.
That's scary.
Scary. Yeah, it was scary. It still is sometimes.
I think that postpartum depression is so real, and I just don't think that you should have to. I really, my gut feeling says do the medication, and you're not them. You're not your sisters. This is you. And I would let their stories be them, and you have your story. And you know, if for some reason it turns out that you need to be on medication, so what? That's okay. You know? But I don't think that will be the case. You've managed and you've done well, and you've had, this is a season. And I think I would take the help because you only get one season with this baby at, like this, you know, you don't want to have regrets on that either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Well, thank you. I just, for some reason, I didn't have a good feeling about it. And I felt like I needed to talk to somebody about it, you know, yeah. Somebody who understands.
Well, and I know there's a lot of moms on here that are taking medication, and like a lot of them that were like, probably never thought they would be that mom taking the medication, but you know what? That's okay. Like, we don't have a choice but to show up for our kids. Like, we don't have a choice, you know, like it is. Like, I'm not going to say, but most of our partners and our husbands have a choice. You know, so we don't really have a choice. And so like, if you need help, like last summer, I was almost at a point where like, and like Steve is not a medication guy at all. Like this guy does not go to the doctor. Like it's overboard. Like we are like, here's me a nurse, here's him like homeopathic, don't go to a doctor. Like what? I'm dragging my leg behind me. I don't need to go anywhere. Like, I'm good. I can Google it, you know? And he was at a point where he was like, babe, you know, I think maybe you might need to have some extra help. And I did come over the other curve of it, but I was at a point where I was really thinking that I needed to have some help, you know? So the thing about your postpartum is that all these hormones take a while and you're not getting sleep. You're not getting the rest you normally would. So I just say like, I would consider like really sit down and consider. Anybody else have anything they want to say? I know Aubrey has her hand up.
Yeah, no, I'm holding a sleeping baby and I'm trying not to be too loud. What I was going to say was that I work in mental health as a marriage and family therapist. And then I also had my first baby 3 months ago. And I've even done like training on postpartum. So I was like, I know what to look for. I'll be able to handle this. And I was a wreck. Like I was having such a hard time mentally and emotionally coping, and the hormones. It was so hard. And I finally realized I don't have to keep white knuckling my way through this, because there are things that can be helpful. And so like I've been doing therapy and I think I'm on like a low dose of Lexapro, and it has helped so much with just the anxiety, because I think for me, my anxiety has been so difficult to manage. I was generally anxious before, but then becoming a first time mom and being postpartum just completely amplified that. And so, it has been so helpful, because I feel like I can be more level. And even when triggers do come up as far as triggering my anxiety, or even trigger like the sadness, because the postpartum depression, I think, was a big piece of it too. I can cope with it better. Like my coping skills actually work better because the medication's kind of helping keep me at a little more stable place. And so it's just such a valuable resource. And I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of either in using resources, whatever your resources are. And medication is just one of them. I don't think it's an end all be all by any means, because if there was a happy pill out there, who wouldn't want one? But like your mental health is a part of your overall health. And it's so important too. And like on the days when I'm feeling better, like I'm a better mom, I'm a better spouse, I just feel like I'm a better human being in general when I'm just in a better headspace. And so I think it's so meaningful to know like your mental health matters and all of these things too, and not to be afraid of trying something that can be a resource to you, because you may not necessarily need medication forever either. I mean, I think there is such a thing as using something for a season of life or a period of time, because it is possible to like utilize medication and then come off of it safely, but it is doable and a lot of people do. So it's not something I don't think you need to be afraid of it, but I think there's just like I remember going through all the like labor and delivery classes, right? Knowledge is so powerful. So I think like the more you can understand and like ask questions and learn about it, the less scary it is. Just because like uncertainty is a really big factor in not wanting to do something, at least for me. So I can understand like, if you don't know about it or have a lot of like uncertainty, it makes it scarier to like venture into like a new arena with something like this. but it's been like from personal experience, it's been huge in helping me feel like I can navigate just being a mom for the first time. And then like dealing with the challenges and the transitions that come with that for sure. So I think I just wanted to like advocate for like just overall health, and that this is something that can definitely be a big piece of that.
Thank you. Yeah. I think my biggest
Rita.
Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like we've been on this journey together for months. And though I have not seen you in a while, because I haven't been on here in a while, like I think that all of us as moms too just feel like, oh, we just have to suck it up and get through it. Just like Aubrey said, like white knuckle your way through it. You don't deserve that. You deserve to feel things and to feel the joy and to feel the, oh, this sucks because I'm not sleeping or whatever. Like, you deserve to feel all those things. And I don't want you to reduce your experience to like, well, I'm a mom and I just have to get through it because I'm responsible for all these humans. Like, that's not, you deserve to feel better. And like everybody said, there's been a lot of studies. A lot of these antidepressants are very safe. I feel like I want you to feel the way you deserve to feel, because you've been through a lot. And your baby deserves to have a mom that feels the way you normally feel. So I just wanted to say that, because you have us, we love you. I love you. I'm going to be better at messaging with you.
Well, thank you. It's so great to have the support.
How does your husband feel about it? Is he supportive of it, or does he have negative feelings about it?
He has pretty negative feelings about him. I asked him like the session before, the therapist actually wanted to subscribe them. And then I kind of mentioned it to him, and he said, I would prefer not. And I said, okay, I told him that I wanted to try without at least for a week or so. Yeah. And after this last session, the last session was really intense. And he just right away in the evening when he was home, he's like, are you okay? I thought for sure this time around he would have said that you needed to take something, just the way that you look. And he isn't very
old. The therapist that said that, or your husband said that?
My husband said that. Okay. When he saw me after the session, he's like, I was sure this time around he would give you something, by the way, the way that you're looking at me, something is off.
Well, I personally feel
but
like
he wasn't. Yeah,
I think that you're gonna have to, like, with or without his support, you need to do what's best for your mental health, because it's not him that has to struggle 24/7. Like, he's only having to deal with it when he's face to face with you. But when you're alone, when it's just you, when it's just you and the kids, like, you're having to struggle. And I really strongly think that, like, I would just be like, you know, like, I respect how you feel, but like, I'm not doing well and I need help, you know? Do you feel like you're strong enough to do that, or is that going to be hard?
It's definitely going to be hard, because he's very, very strong, set in his ways. But I think I will manage. I'll talk to the provider or to the therapist to see, exactly what the effects are, so that I know what I'm. But, and then we'll have a conversation about it with my husband.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I know you're not to this extreme, but I feel like I want to say this. Like, I don't know if you guys heard about that mom last month that had extreme postpartum psychosis, and her husband left her home with the kids to go to the store, and she killed all of the kids and then tried to kill herself and didn't succeed. And there's going to be a point when this mom's comes back to, I mean, she may already be there, where her hormones level out and she's back to her, And she has to live with that. And I'm not saying like you're going to go to that extreme, but when we go through those things, there will be a point where you level back out. And I just don't want you to be like, man, I really wish I had done that so I didn't have to struggle for this long, you know, because it really can level you out. And, you know, postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, postpartum psychosis, all of it, it's no joke. Like, I look back at, you know, because I'm a lot older than you guys, and I can look back now and clearly remember things that were in the news or things that I heard when I was younger that I absolutely 100% am like, I guarantee that was related to postpartum depression, you know, and even for my own journey, just listening to you guys, like, we didn't have the resources you guys had. And I mean, you guys are very fortunate to have this group, not me, this group, because of what you guys have shared, I've been like, damn, like, that's what was happening. Like, I didn't even like put words to some of the like intrusive thoughts that I had as a new mom. And just, not many women get that ability, like, to be able to just be real and say, you know, like, this is where I'm at, like, and this is how I feel. So, but that being said, like, therapy and support can only go so far, because even if you're in therapy, like, that might be once a week for 1 hour. Well, what about the rest of those hours? Like, you're struggling, you know? Maybe, what about your husband coming with you? Would he go with you?
The thing is, we have virtual sessions, but yeah, if I would ask him to come with me, I think he would. Yeah, that would be an option.
So maybe like you could do that and then tell the therapist that you're really thinking about, you know, doing the medication, but your husband's really concerned. And so he can explain the safety of it to him as well. But ultimately, I think you really need to do what's best for you and for your mental health.
Yeah, thank you. It has helped me to process it a bit more, just talking about it and hearing others.
Well, and the other thing that I would encourage you is to be real with your husband about what you're really feeling and what the thoughts you're having and the stress, like, be as raw and real. So he knows this is, you're not just feeling blah, you know, because I think explaining to someone else when you're in a deep depression is real, like, my oldest son struggles with clinical depression. And until I had that experience last summer, I did not really have an understanding at all. Like, I've always been like a suck it up and do it type of person, you know? And like, I'm just like, why doesn't he just suck it up and do it? You know, and you can't. When you're in that state, you can't. There is no sucking it up and doing it. And I feel so terrible. Not that I've ever said it to him. I've always been supportive of him. But in my head, I was like, just suck it up and get shit done. Like, get over it, you know? And I realized in August that is not manageable. Like, I've never felt that, like, I think the reason I haven't is because I've always stuffed what I was feeling, and it just, everybody kept saying, you need to deal with it and feel it. And then I felt it, and then nobody wanted me to feel it anymore, you know? So I think, you know, there's definitely, you need to process and feel, don't stuff it, but we're here for you. And you, by all means, send a DM, connect to some of these other moms. You, all of them are in, you know, in circle. If you need to even post like, hey, I'm feeling really terrible today and I just need like someone, you know, we're all here for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, Kayla.
Hello.
How are you?
It's been a week. I mean, it's been a rough few weeks with all the sleep changes that Ainsley's been going through, but it's been a tough week personally because I felt really good. I had finally found a birth trauma therapist. I had a consult with them on Monday. I felt like, okay, this is going to be good because aside from like the professional training on a personal level, she could relate because she too had her own birth trauma. Okay, great. Like, you know, the process is getting started. I finally have someone who is going to be well equipped to start helping me through this process. And I fill out the paperwork, all this nonsense. And I get an email Tuesday night that my insurance is not one that they take. Mm-hmm. And it was honestly so devastating because I felt like I finally was getting the process started, and to find out I'm back at square one of trying to find a therapist that is going to be able to help me through this process. And you know, like Sarah mentioned earlier, I have also been feeling really lost and lonely lately with her sleep changing and the contact naps. Yeah. Been a rough week.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Did you guys ever decide if you were going to do bed share or no?
So I reached out this week with a sleep consultant, one of the sleep consultants I found that I had mentioned previously, who is all about like the biological infant sleep. And I had a consultation with her. And now we're just kind of deciding like if we're going to do it, if we're going to invest, because she's only contact napping. And then, you know, her night sleep had changed and I was willing to try co-sleeping, but that, you know, has been a struggle because I try as hard as I can't get comfortable. So then it's like my fiance is doing bedtime and I'll go upstairs. I'll take over for a few hours if he has to finish work because bedtime starts at 7:30. And then he'll eventually come back and take over at, you know, 2 a.m. And he ends up sleeping in the recliner with her. And it's just, now we're not spending any time together. So, that has been really hard too, because he works during the day and there's no me and him time, you know?
He's taking a bottle, right? Do you have anyone that could like babysit her for you guys to go on a date?
I mean, our family is only about an hour away. So they're not, you know, they're not really far. Cassie and I have gotten to be really friendly outside of the hangouts and whatnot. And she's, you know, she's been encouraging about either, you know, hiring someone, a nanny or a babysitter, or, and I don't think it really occurred to me that I might have some postpartum anxiety, because the idea of leaving her with anyone, like I literally hate the idea of it, and I need to process that, but it's hard for me, right? Like the idea of like leaving her with even like my mom, like it's not that I don't trust my mom, but the idea of leaving her with my mom and we go out for a little while, like that idea, I just don't love it.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard. All of that's hard. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's somewhat normal for a lot of moms who don't want to leave their baby and have some anxiety. I guess it would be examining that anxiety and like how intense is that, you know, like, and because I really think it would do you guys some good to have some time alone. What about having a babysitter or a nanny that watched the baby upstairs while you guys had a movie night at downstairs, like take baby steps?
I mean, that would probably be something I think I'd be, you know, a lot easier about doing. And I think, especially like with how the birth trauma and how I'm feeling has impacted like our intimate relationship. Like now the fact that we don't even get any time together on the couch in the evening, it's the weight of it is just feeling really heavy. And then feeling like I wake up and my whole day is dedicated to her. And if I get to shower during the day, it's great. But 5 out of 7 days a week, I'm usually showering at night once she's already in bed, because my whole day is, you know, feed her, change her, play with her to tire her out, nap time, get her down for nap. And then I'm with her for however long her nap is. And then it's wake up, you know, feed her, change her, try to feed myself in that time.
Yeah.
So that's starting to feel really, really heavy and exhausting and lonely and isolating. And then to find out this week that the steps that I thought I was going to be able to take for myself with the birth trauma, I'm back at square one.
Yeah. Let me just for a minute yell at Emily, because she is a terrible member in our membership. The Birth Trauma Mama has done an expert workshop and she's been on the podcast.
I knew that. I just was.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You were going to get in trouble because last time you were like, oh. Yeah, she's amazing. And I think someone was asking, how do you find one? If you go to postpartum, I think it's Postpartum International or Postpartum.
I don't remember what you guys would have to go back in the recording, because I had asked the question on that workshop to find out what resource she suggested. And I don't remember what it was, but I had used the resource she suggested, because it allowed you to put in what state you're looking for and then your insurance coverage. So that way it could help narrow down for you what provider
you could find. Let me look really quick on the podcast and see. It might be on her episode. If it's on there, I'll see. But I know she also recommended postpartum.net that you can search on that as well. I remember it was a weird name, the one
some kind of institute. I don't remember institute.
Yeah,
And I found
now, because I remember now it was something.
And I went to this website. I found literally one provider, and in Massachusetts, I'm in Rhode Island. Nobody in the state of Rhode Island under this particular resource that she suggested. I reached out to them. She was busy. She had another clinician in her practice. That is who I had the consultation with. And, you know, like I said, we had the consultation. I went through all the paperwork, literally all of the paperwork. And then I got the email saying,
have you called the office to see if they have any kind of financial aid, like a sliding scale or anything like that?
I haven't, because it took me a couple of days to kind of just swallow the fact that I have to start from square one. So like, then I'm like, okay, I'm just going to scratch the birth trauma portion of it. Maybe just try to find an EMDR therapist.
Okay.
So then I went to emdrsomething.org. Again, put in, I think, Rhode Island. And I got these list of people who are certified in EMDR. Then I'm like cross-checking them with my insurance. And the people I've called so far aren't accepting new patients. So it's like, I can't catch a break.
We went through the same thing with Lainey when we were trying to find a specialist type therapist for her as well. All of the ones that insurance would cover, like some of the wait times was like a year. Like, who in the heck can wait that long to get help? So we've ended up having just paying out of pocket. And now she loves her therapist. So, which when they're 17, you're just going to stay there. So, but we do, you know, we, because we're all going there, we've asked for like help and they've given us, you know, help. So sometimes, I mean, I think it's worth a shot to call them at the very least. Maybe you could see her for a couple months.
Yeah.
I would just ask them, do you have any kind of financial aid or sliding scale?
Because yeah, and
will.
I was even, I mean, I was willing to, because she was the only one I found, I was willing to drive, you know, to my parents' house 45, 50 minutes away for every session because I was going to have to be in the state of Massachusetts during the time of the session. So, you know, I was even willing to make the drive to be somewhere that my mom can be with Ainsley and I'll be in a separate room. And it just.
What yeah. state are you in?
I'm in Rhode Island.
Yeah, so I had a lady here. I don't know if you guys heard the podcast episode about pregnancy after sexual abuse. The therapist that was on for that one, she's here in Nashville, but I know she does online for a couple other states, but she specializes in birth trauma and like therapy related to pregnancy. But she only does a few states right around here. I'll go, and I know another one that, because I was just looking, I don't have that place, but I know what you're talking about. It's like a yes. last name institute or
yes something. Yep.
But
yeah, also, I feel like it began with an S for some reason, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'm gonna look when we get done, and I'll put it in the postpartum space in the membership. But she also told me openpathcollective.org, because I just pulled up
I haven't looked that one yet.
I just pulled up my notes from the podcast and they put that in there where I had written it. So that might be another one that you can do, but I'll get that information for you guys. I hate to pop off of here, but I can hear my son and I need to get him to bed. But I love you guys. Anybody else have something that they really want to share really quick before we hop off, or any updates? Hopefully you guys.
Hi, Trish. I haven't been on in like forever. So
hi. Oh my gosh.
Postpartum visit. So
yeah.
I'm like super at the party, but
I am so glad to see you. We prayed for you so much. She had such a crazy last weeks of her pregnancy.
Yeah. So don't want to keep from your son. You know, all the things. It was good to hear Kayla kind of like on the end, because you feel so alone when you're experiencing some of these emotions. And sometimes you feel crazy too, because you're like, am I overreacting that I don't want to leave my baby with other people, or am I, you know? So just hearing like somebody else say some of that, just even the end makes me feel better, because like I'll fortunately have my mom to leave my baby with when I go to work, but it's still like nobody can care for my baby like me. So yeah, overall, I'm taking it day by day, Trish, day by day.
How are you? So I've thought a lot about you, because so B's grandma, who was very important to her, died right before the baby was born. And so I've thought a lot about you processing both of those emotions at once. It's a lot.
Yeah, it is. You know, and I'm not really allowing myself to process as much as I should, if at all, because I don't want to have the mom guilt of my baby feeling my emotions, seeing me sad, me holding her and crying. You know, grief is one of those things where it's like, you know, it just hits you in waves too, or at least for me it is. And so like sometimes I'll be perfectly fine and other days I'll see something that'll make me think about her. Or just, I'll just be sitting here and think about her. And it's just, it's that thing where it's like, okay, what do I do? Do I process this while breastfeeding? Do I cry and breastfeed at the same time? You know what I mean? It's weird. It's definitely weird for sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to see you and you definitely need to come. These are amazing. These postpartum happy hours. Like,
no, it's so hard because it's like even right now, I'm like, I need to be cooking while this baby is somewhat quiet.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I'm probably gonna have to body with her to do that. So, you know, we never get a break. It's no days off. I go back to work in a week. Oh, I am super sad about that. And no offense, but it's like, okay, y'all didn't ask for this, but y'all getting it. I'd rather be at home with my baby than at work dealing with people that I don't even like. I don't even care about y'all. I gotta have patience for y'all. Like, being a mom now is like, I think I'm about to do a whole career change or something, because I just feel like we have to put up with so much at work, y'all. I see y'all laughing, so y'all know I'm telling the truth. Like, I'm like, I'd rather give my baby all of this patience and love than have to deal with y'all crazy behinds. No, I don't want to fake it no more, Trish. I don't want to fake it no more. So,
is it possible that you could do something from home, do you think? Or,
you know, I really have been thinking about that immediately starting next week. No, but you know, like, I was like, you know what? I feel like later this year, I probably will not be on this job. And I'm thankful for that, because my baby has really had me reevaluate what's important to me. And I feel like I don't have the time or the energy anymore to give to a job that's not feeding me. It's not feeding my passion. It's not feeding my purpose. Yeah. And I could just be at home with my baby till I find that job. Like, you're operating right now, Trish, in your passion, your purpose, you're running towards the mark. You know what you're doing. I feel like, why? Until God puts me in that, you know, that job, why?
Yeah, I can, you know, it's funny.
We can be rocking it out. I can do a few little phone calls or whatever work from home job I can do until God puts me in that, you know what I'm saying, in that position. It's because so the amazing amount of energy I'm about to have to exert. Yeah. And I really don't want to show everybody my baby. So I'm already dreading that. Oh, let me see the baby. Let me see the, no, I don't talk to you like that. No. I'm very private. Only close friends and family have even seen my baby. So I've got to deal with that. Oh, you snap back. Oh, you look different. Oh, you did it. You know, I just don't want to have to deal with all that.
Yeah.
You looking really good. Did you even? Yeah, I was. Yeah, I'm looking good. But you don't know, girl. You don't know all of what I went through. This was 26 hours of labor, girl. I may look good, but it wasn't. It was painful. Okay. So let's not negate that because I snapped back or whatever, you know.
Uh-huh. I always tell people, because I always lost the weight pretty quick, and people be like,
my man is God,
you don't even look like you had a baby. And I'm like, yeah, well, you don't see me naked.
He's like, you just be talking. Well, I don't get to talk to anybody really. Like, it's so funny because when he comes home, I'm like, talk to me. Cause all I've been with is this doggone baby. I hate to say it like that, but y'all not judging me, are y'all? I don't know. But yeah. I'm just like,
well, happy to see you, and you need to come next time. It's okay if you can cook.
I'm trying, Trish. Like I said, I really resonated with Kayla because I just feel so unproductive that all I'm doing is my baby. Like, all day. That's all I do. I try to take moments to do. I can't. She doesn't nap, but 20 minutes, if that, and she's up like, hey, I'm up. What's up? What we doing? Where we going? What we doing? And I'm like,
20 minutes is not enough to get anything done.
I'm trying to eat. I'm like, and it's so weird because I'm breastfeeding. So it's like laptop in one hand, trying to do at least something. I can't even get my insurance renewed because I'm over here trying to do quotes. And I'm like, Michael, just come type this stuff in. I'm trying to hold this laptop and breastfeed. It ain't working. Baby probably going to get radioactive energy or something with this laptop being this close. So I'm, yeah. Anyway, thank you, Trish, for making another 5 minutes for me.
You're welcome. I'm happy to see you. I know Taylor and I, like, have you heard from B? Where is B? What is going on?
B is out here fighting for my life, Trish. Didn't nobody say it was going to be this hard, but this is what I'm doing. I'm fighting for my life. And in turn, somehow I'm able to use my humor to push through, you know, how I really feel.
Yeah.
But behind all this, yeah, it's, I need some counseling too. I need some therapy too. Okay. I got to find me somebody too, to talk to.
Yeah, you do.
When the walls are caving in and the shades are drawn and you just like, here, somebody take this baby and get me out of here.
And if you don't feel the feelings, you're going to end up like me last summer, not being able to function. Because if you push them down and you don't feel them, they will eventually come back to bite you. So I would definitely recommend talking to someone, walking through them, and check in with us next week and let us know how you feel when you go back to work. So it's going to be a hard time.
Yeah, I definitely will have to, because I'm just going to probably chunk a chair at them if they ask me 10 times a day, can they see my baby? And how's this? I don't want to talk about all that. Can I just go to work? I hate to say that, but can I just go back to work?
Yeah.
Unless I've talked to you before, like close talk to you, I don't want to talk about all that.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. That's just me though. Some mamas are probably like, be your weird for that, but that's just me.
Well, and sometimes,
all right, ladies,
it's hard when you're trying to function and not think about
like I don't want to think about my baby, because I'd rather be with her than here. So
I get that,
you know. And then it's just also the privacy level. Like, I feel like I'm a very private person, so it's like a certain amount of things that like I don't want to have to share with all the 50 people that stop by my door at my in my office, you know. And then there was one other thing that I was going to say that I've really been wanting to vent about, but I haven't been able to vent about, because I feel like I have nobody to talk to but the baby. I don't know.
Can always post it in the community. You guys have each other.
Yeah, that's true.
This is why.
But I've seen a lot of head nods though, so that made me feel better, because I'm like, I'm not in this alone.
No,
they feel.
Message me. Message me whenever you need to.
Okay, Kayla, I'm gonna have to message you, me. Girl,
I'm home all the time with the baby. I get contact naps. Message me. I always have my phone.
All right, you guys, I loved hanging out with you guys. I will see you in a couple weeks, and you guys can always connect inside of the community. Always send any of us a DM. We're all here for you. All right, have a great night.
Bye.